The day we were all waiting for is here. 105-91. The Phoenix Suns win, and Kevin Durant with 23 points in 27 minutes. Only missed 5 shots. Everything we were hoping for and more. We're live on YouTube. Let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And we are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past 6 seasons, a writer at Suns.com, and the host of the Just Basketball Show, wherever you get podcasts. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen. Post-game on Wednesday after a win by the Suns over the Hornets, 105-91. The day we've all been waiting for, the game we've all been waiting for. I think the moment we didn't know would ever actually get here. Aaron Edwards is joining us on the show. Hit follow or subscribe wherever you're finding us. We are on YouTube if you're joining us. Hit these comments. Drop in your thoughts. Let's have some fun here. That's what tonight is all about. We'll dive into this game. We'll talk about KD's scoring. We'll talk about Book going off. We'll talk about the rotation. Just what it all felt like in that Hornets-Suns game tonight. Today's show, guys, brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, Aaron, so I'll let you start us off. I have to admit, this KD performance was better than I was expecting. I thought it might be quiet. I thought it might be kind of a figuring things out kind of game, and it was the Hornets, so of course they're going to win, and I thought that might just be what it was, but he came out swinging. I think he had double-digit points in the first quarter, and they never really looked back.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this. I knew he's still KD. He's going to hit mid-range. I didn't know he was going to hit him at this clip after being off for months. But the more shocking part is Monty letting him. Like it's just letting him cook a little bit. That seemed like the weirder part. I thought the minute restriction was going to be really strict. So the fact that Monty even let a lot of those things slide, like he hit the ground a couple times, he got in it, like he got physical, and Monty like kind of let him fill it out and gave him, I think he had 23 points in 23 minutes. So yeah, I think that's a pretty decent ask for a first game back.
It was, yeah, that's a good call. I mean, the fact that he was able to kind of cook a little bit, and what surprised me, and like, I don't want to get too in the weeds, because this first segment, I kind of want to just like bask a little bit. I'm wearing my, this is a Kevin Durant shirt, in case anyone was wondering.
It's
It's not a McHale shirt. It is the number 7. Yes, I bought it back.
I was going to mention it.
I bought it back in 2019 when he first, before he ever played there. I was in New York and I was like, hey, this is a cool souvenir. And then look at here we are now. But I was surprised how quickly, right from the jump, they incorporated some of the things that I think we all expected them to do. Defensively, we saw Ayton, you know, moving around, moving his feet, being more aggressive, which is something we all talked about, thought about, wondered about. That happened. And then just, yeah, I guess allowing KD to kind of have the freedom to cook a little bit. Yes, it's Durant, but Monty runs such a strict system that I think you're kind of saying a better way to put what I said at the beginning, which is I thought this might be a game where it was just Durant sort of being in the spots that McHale and Cam were in, and we wouldn't really see that build out until later on. But here he is. He barely missed any of his shots. He's getting the threes from the left wing that we all have seen a million times. He's getting to the right elbow. He's shoving guys around to create space. And it just felt like a Kevin Durant game, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I think it was the fact that we know Monty, and having a player other than Book just clear out and like let them just go and play their game. Like I think I texted you earlier. I was like, Monty's pretty anti-hoopers, but so you have to be pretty good to just get outside of his offense and like let it slide. But at the same time, that was KD's biggest beef with Kerr, is sometimes he just wanted to freestyle and not play inside the offense. And Kerr wasn't really about that a lot of the time. So when it comes to this, Monty's gonna have to like have some give and take when it comes to KD if he wants this to be like a really good relationship.
when I did the show that came out on Wednesday morning that was like what to watch for, whatever, one of the things I almost kind of talked myself into was that in a way, I wonder if the short runway that they have until the playoffs, the fact that there's so few games kind of helps in that regard, because there's not time to build out a whole bunch of structure and draw up a million new plays and whatever. It's sort of like, yes, they're going to try to get Durant. And we saw that too, right? Fit him into what they've already done in the past. He's going to be a screener. He's going to come off screens. He's going to be a ball handler in all the different sets that we've seen them run for years. But I wonder if there's also an element with that freedom you're talking about where it's sort of just, we gotta play it like it's a playground a little bit, like it's an open gym. And that probably helps for the playoffs. Like, I was watching this game feeling like this is the most playoff-like I think this Suns offense has ever looked in the regular season under Monty.
Yeah, it was, everybody was getting theirs. Ayton has to be happy. Like, he was one of the only person eating in the first half other than KD. Like, I guess Book was kind of warming up a little bit, but it seemed like Big Three, CP had, like, we'll probably get into this later, but he was there. He was at the game. But I think
33 that, like, minutes, the, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, but like, for the most part, I think that, like, everybody that you have to keep happy was happy during this game. Like, Ayton got his touches. He looked really good. And Booker got to go off. And KD got to do stuff outside of the offense, which he definitely likes. He doesn't like being put, like, in this box and having to run pick and rolls and just coming off of screens for a whole game. And Monty, like, for a first game back, he really, like, found a good middle ground to let these guys do their thing. Some of the, like, supporting players kind of had a tougher time, like, regressing. Like, Okogie had some turnovers, just not being confident with the ball in his hands like he was before, because, yeah, KD's on the floor. You want to get him the ball. But I think that's the part you need to figure out is the supporting dudes. Like, can I still do the stuff I was doing before he got here and not try to force feed him the ball? Because KD was even like, keep the ball, drive through it, like, get it to Ayton. Yeah. And so I think once you get past those kind of hiccups, like, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, 48 points, only 48 points in that second half. The Hornets actually won the second half. The Suns just kind of very obviously took their feet off the gas a little bit. But in that first half, they had an offensive rating of 122, so they scored 122 points per 100 possessions. I think they shot 55% from the field. But even you look at the final numbers here, 30 assists, 47% shooting, only 12 turnovers. And we went through the numbers on Book and Durant, and you mentioned Ayton. He was 7 of 10. Those three guys were significantly over 50% from the field. If Paul does a little more than just show up, like you said, and if, you know, guys on the bench make some more shots, like, this easily, I think the over-under from a betting standpoint was 129. So anyone who bet the under, 229. So anyone who bet the under feels pretty good, because this second half was kind of rough. But what they showed in that first half is exactly why I think the league is a little worried. I didn't see anything that made me doubt that.
Yeah, you want your stars to show up. And like Shaq always says, like, in the playoffs, you just need your other guys to just give a little bit. Like, if your stars can show up and just do what they do, if KD's going to get buckets, if Book's going to give you 30, and if, like, Ayton's going to shoot 73%, then, yeah, like, you're going to be pretty fine. And Chris Paul just has to run the show. I don't need him to make a bunch of shots. I just need him to run the show. Like, he had turnovers and stuff. He did a lot of, like, stuff outside of what he usually does. He was still a +8, but I would just, like, you could, like, the eye test still doesn't really lie when it comes to stuff like that. And he could have played better. And for the most part, you just need your stars to show up. And guys like Okogie, he did great on defense today. Even like Torrey Craig, I think he hit 2 threes. I think he was like 2 for 3 or 2 for 4. Once those guys, like, really get it together, like, it's really easy if your stars are showing up.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Devin Booker. 37 points on 26 shots, only one turnover with his 7 assists. And some takeaways from this rotation: Josh Okogie gets that fifth starter spot, as we all hope for. I wouldn't even say expected. I think we were unsure. So night one, he gets it. We'll talk about what that could mean going forward. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA and of the Locked On Podcast Network. here is the deal. New customers get a no-sweat first bet from FanDuel up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then make bets on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drained. I will not lie. I got in on some of the fun today. I think the line for KD rebounds was 5.5. That hit the over. Ayton first basket. That hit. So I don't do that every game, but I'm not going to lie. I had some fun today. It was a night of celebration. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine those bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay if you're confident on a bunch of things at one time. Add them up all together, get the better odds, put some money down, and win that way as well. Don't miss the chance. Get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Okay, so let's switch over to Devin Booker. He benefited, I think, greatly from Durant, but I think in a lot of ways this was a get-right game for him as well, Aaron, because I don't want to overlook that. He has not looked like himself, I think, since the All-Star break, the two games, admittedly just two games, but this was good. Making the mid-range shots, getting to the basket. Kelly Oubre got up for this game, you could tell, and Book was taking it to the rim against him, getting some contact, finishing, getting to the foul line. A good performance from Booker. Not anything we haven't seen, but still great to see that he was able to get his at the same time. Even like you said, Durant was kind of going out of the offense. Book still managed to score.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway was Book just attacking. Like, it seems like he hasn't been attacking. Like, I remember like the first couple of weeks of the season, we were like, if Book's going to attack like this, then we're going to be fine this season. And that's when we were kind of going off. But yeah, he's just been kind of warming up and he hasn't been going to the rim as much. He was kind of the only person on our team shooting free throws. So that's really a good sign that Book's legs are kind of getting under him again. And yeah, if Book's legs are under him and he's going to be the person on our team that attacks and gets to the line, it's going to make KD's job a lot easier. It's going to make everybody's job easier. And it's just really nice to see that he's kind of feeling himself. Getting even like just a lift on his jump shot, he was short on a lot of threes when he first came back, and it just looks like he's a lot more comfortable and just has his legs again.
Hoping we can get some comments going here as well, if this storm is not holding my feedback or the YouTube stream for people watching. Drop some comments, we'll answer some questions as we go. I think I want to talk about the Booker and Durant kind of partnership here, because honestly, I don't know. I might be wrong. I wasn't exactly watching for it. We just got done watching the game, so things could have been missed. To me, it felt like I don't even think that they were playing off of each other as well as they can. Like, yeah, it was the Hornets, like you know, so yeah. I guess that's part of it. But like, they weren't even doing things together on the court, and they still both went crazy.
Yeah, it just seemed like they were both on the court at the same time, but it didn't seem like they were both like playing off each other. It was just, oh, KD just got two buckets in a row. Oh, Book just got KD for an open three. Oh, Book just got an open jumper. Like, it seemed like they were there at the same time, but they were kind of doing things separately. I mean, they weren't getting doubled. And well, when KD was with the bench, he was getting doubled a lot more, but it just seemed like two separate games going on at the same time, which I'm sure KD's used to. Like, he did that with Kyrie. It never really seemed like they were together on the court at the same time. It was just two dudes that could hoop that were cooking at the same time. And I think KD would be a lot comfortable with that. And Book, he's played with him before, so I can see him getting pretty comfortable with that too.
We have this comment. You guys notice Book had a wide open three. Crazy to see. You tweeted during the game too that you couldn't remember the last time he got he didn't get blitzed. I mean, did that even happen to him?
It didn't happen today. It didn't happen once. It was crazy.
That's probably that's a nice shortcut to get 37, I would say, is to not get any defensive attention. I mean, that's the way it's going to show up immediately, right? And then I think you add in the fact that I think two guys who did have chemistry right away would be Durant and Ayton. There were some nice drop-offs where Durant was getting it to Ayton, rolling to the basket, and that was interesting to me because I didn't really talk about it a ton on the podcast because I didn't know what to expect with it, but KD's never really had like a legitimate center like Ayton. I mean, he played with Claxton this year. That's probably the closest. Yeah. He played with Adams at times, I guess, but that was early on for Adams. He's never really had that type of guy.
Yeah, Ayton hit a fadeaway corner three today, so I'm not sure KD's exactly had something like that before. But yeah, it seemed like they just had a good two-man game going. Ayton didn't get as many like switches with some like smaller guys on him today, but I guess the pick and roll wasn't really starting with like KD got to handle the ball a lot more today, so it wasn't exactly getting a small switches on the Ayton tonight. So that's probably why he didn't get as many like touches against a smaller player. But he was still just getting wide open shots at the top, at the corner. And so if he's just going to get that and hit him, then he'll take that too. Like, he doesn't need the switches on the small dudes.
The last thing on KD from a perspective of how he kind of got his today, we saw him a lot in those lineups with just him in the bench. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be Chris Paul who played in those lineups, Booker, two of those guys, and it kind of took me back, and I've mentioned this a bunch of times, but those games that he had against the Bucks in the second round a couple years ago where he just went off, it was like maybe the best playoff series of his career. You look at who was out there with him. It was like Bruce Brown, Blake Griffin, Shamit, Joe Harris. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need a lot of help around him, and so I think it kind of makes sense to have him be the guy in those lineups where it's just some spacing, maybe a role man, and then KD's just going to get buckets.
Yeah, that's why I think I texted you. I was like, some of those lineups when KD's just going to have Terrence Ross and Book out there, teams are going to force CP to make shots. Like, that's going to be like, can he make these shots? So once it comes down to that, you're going to know people are pretty much at their last straw of this offense. But I think that just so many, we have a lot of choices on lineups. KD played the five today and he got to guard centers and he got two early blocks earlier and he got to start breaks off of those and get open shots. I think that's going to be the bigger deal, is just the lineups that we know Monty's stubborn, but just the lineups Monty gets to run to get buckets. Like, not even defensively, I still think we'll be fine just because our system is our system. And once you learn it, you know what you're supposed to do. It's just an effort kind of thing. But just offensively, I think if Monty is really down to take chances, we can put up points if he really wants to.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what I said earlier, where it's just this felt like the most playoff ready. The way that this game broke down offensively, the way those guys got their points, felt the most translatable to the playoffs. Not saying that when Book goes for 60 and, you know, whatever, that it's not, obviously that's translatable, but there have been times where even Mikhail goes off or any of that stuff, and it's like our immediate thing is, okay, can it really happen in May? You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's what felt really cool tonight, is you were just like, this is going to work in a game seven. This is going to work in a game five, because it just felt so effortless. To Steve Haller, am I even a Suns fan? I'll let you decide, sir. You can you can check out the feed. You can check out whatever. Just because the Giannis jersey is the biggest thing doesn't mean it's the only thing. You guys could use your eyes maybe like a tiny bit more. I got Booker right there. That's him. There's a Suns motorcycle right here. There's a Penny Taylor thing over there. You guys gotta drop it. All right, let's get into Josh Okogie being the fifth starter in this game, what we learned there, and what it tells us about the future. Also, Monty going away from the 10-man rotation because he just can't help himself. We'll get into all that. One more quick break first. All right, and we're back. Quick break for the YouTube audience. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Keep dropping the comments live, unless they have to do with whether I actually like the Suns or not, in which case, keep them to yourself. But we'll dive in. Josh Okogie gets the start tonight, and I think he played 33 minutes. You mentioned he was quiet on offense. There was a couple of those possessions, even in the fourth quarter, where he tossed the ball away on the fast break, and then it was kind of cool that KD threw it right back to him right after that.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the guys kind of know he's the young guy. He's the guy they're going to need to bring the confidence along for. They're going to need to commit to, not you know, back off of. The way that they were treating him in some of those moments made me feel like this might not just be a one-off. And as much as Monty's saying it's going to be matchup dependent, or we're not sure what it'll look like night to night, it kind of feels like it's going to be Okogie going forward.
Yeah, it just seems like he fits his lineup. He's the switches don't matter to him no matter who he gets switched on to. And it doesn't matter to Torrey Craig either, but they both rebound pretty much aggressively, like on offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. And a coach, like, they're both shooting pretty well too. And I think it's just like a ball handling kind of thing. On breaks, if you need somebody else to handle the rock, Okogie seems more comfortable doing it. And Torrey Craig seems like he kind of just wants to get enough space to get it to Chris Paul or Book. And honestly, I think that's what it came down to. They both, once you really look at it, it kind of matched up pretty evenly, but just having ball handlers on the floor made it a lot easier to put Okogie out there if it was going to be a tie.
And even Okogie, like, he's kind of a ball handler, at least more so than somebody like Craig or whoever you would put out there. Like, yeah, you know, when he ends up with the ball, I mentioned the turnovers, you mentioned the turnovers, but like, he plays like a guard, you know, and like at Georgia Tech, he was a scorer. Like, that's what he comes from. That's what you kind of have to be when you're his height. And now he's just sort of adjusting to what he's going to be in the NBA beyond this team. And we didn't even see, this wasn't even a game because LaMelo Ball didn't play where they even needed the actual best thing he provides, which is the on-ball defense. Like, they didn't even really need to go to him for that. Chicago, if LaVine plays, Dallas, Kyrie, like, we'll see it in the next few games, but it didn't even end up being necessary today. So Terrence Ross didn't play in this game, but still, despite all that, Monty still found 11 guys to play tonight. TJ Warren gets 13 minutes, Ish Wainwright gets 8 minutes, and then, you know, Craig, Lee, Payne, Landale, like we've seen. You were texting me about the minutes while the game was going on. I'm not surprised that Monty went back to a bigger rotation, but I can't help myself, but as I'm watching these games, just like you, kind of wondering who's going to be the odd man out. And it feels like we're starting to get an idea of what that might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's 20 games left, so I think next week we'll know for sure who's who, because he's got to know, like, he's got to start figuring it out. Like, it's just not enough time to start playing these big lineups unless he's really going to do it in the playoffs, which I doubt. But yeah, I think the odd man out are going to be Wainwright, obviously, and Shamet. And I, beyond the center, the backup center situation is just interchangeable, because he's right, you do need different guys for different things. And Landale, in the first half, he played really well off KD, but the second half was rough. And he just had no confidence just getting to the rim, and they were just hammering him. So, yeah, I think depending on matchups, the center situation is going to be weird, but Wainwright and Shamet seem like the odd men out for right now.
And Lee, the thing about Lee, that's the thing that's so weird with him is he has so many of these games where he doesn't even attempt a three.
Yeah, he didn't get one up today.
I've never seen a shooter, a shooter. I mean, I don't even mean to put it in parentheses because we know, or in quotes, because we know he can make them. But for a guy who's like, you know, getting his teammates out here about he should be in the three-point contest and he's, you know, a splash brother and all this stuff. And then there's just so many of these games where he doesn't even take one. He plays like 20 minutes. It's the craziest thing. And if he's not going to even do the thing that he's best at, it's hard to justify keeping him out there. We know he can make them, but he has to take the shot. Otherwise, what's he really doing there, you know?
Yeah, he's not the defensive stopper. So pretty much you're wasting 20 minutes you're on the floor because you're not getting shots up and you're not exactly like helping on defense either. So yeah, if anybody's going to lose minutes, especially when, I mean, Terrence Ross isn't exactly a defensive stopper either, but it just seems smarter to give those minutes to him.
He's going to take shots. You're never going to see a game where you're right, Terrence Ross didn't shoot enough. That's not going to be anybody's analysis on this stuff. On TJ Warren, I just keep coming back to him because I think in terms of building out lineups, in terms of versatility, he had that one drive in the third quarter where he just put his head down and got to the basket. I think he drew a foul. I don't think it was an and one. We know he can make the threes. We know he can make mid-range shots if they're there for him. But just the versatility plus being big. It's like nobody on the bench is a perfect two-way player. That's what happens when you make a big trade in season. But if you're giving me a bunch of guys, I'm going to want to take the bigger one over the smaller one. And so it's like Lee, Shamit, even Payne. I'm going to feel better if Ross is out there, if TJ's out there, just because they're 6'6", 6'7", and that helps you out when you're trying to build lineups and defend.
Yeah, I think with the Warren thing, it's just hard to figure out a groove with a bunch of dudes that you don't get to play with that regular that often, that you're just going to kind of just know how to like fill out a game. He didn't get to play two straight games. So I think that was more just a filling out kind of thing. He hasn't been on the floor enough. Once he got his, like, once he was comfortable and he felt comfortable driving to the lane and getting into somebody's body, yeah, you can kind of see that that's something he's really good at. Even the three he missed, like, the shot clock was going down, but he still pulled up confidently. Like, you know that he wants to put the ball on the ground and get shots up. You just need to give him the time to do it.
Yeah, and you even saw that a little bit. Like, he had that nice start to the season with Brooklyn, and then this was kind of happening to him there, too, where Jacques Vaughn was, you know, he might get 10 minutes, he might get 8, then he might get 20, but then right back to 8, you know. I think he's a guy where, like, the next level for him, because he dealt with all those injuries, he's not going to be a featured guy anymore. It still feels like he's figuring out how to do what he does off of other players and in a smaller role, because really, for the most part of his career, his best moments have been, I'm just out here to score. And that's not going to be his role on a lot of teams anymore because of how much his athleticism has gone away and whatever, and he's not great defensively. It's definitely not going to be his role on this team.
No, but I think asking like a dude to be a third option, with he's never going to be on the floor when we need him without Book or KD on the floor. Like, it's going to be one of those guys at all times. So it's not like we're asking him to handle the ball or do anything crazy. Like, we're asking you to be on the floor with two dudes that can literally score whenever they want. So that should get you some open shots to do something that you can still do. Like, you're going to be able to do that for a couple of years. So if you're still on the court with Book or KD at all times, you just got to make the shots that you're going to get.
Yeah, and you got to be ready to take those catch and shoots and whatever and just kind of not have the ball in your hands. I think that's part of what I'll be watching for. But I think, you know, I still feel good that they have answers, right? Like, they have different pieces. It's just going to be a matter of what game, what matchup, who's hot, whatever it might be, and that'll kind of decide things. But let's circle back to Kevin Durant one last time. What are your final thoughts? What are you going to sleep thinking about now that this man has finally made his debut? He's going to be on this team for the next 3+ years. I can't wrap my head around it.
It's crazy. Like, he fixes so many problems. I texted you, stop the bleeding. Like, we have the best score when the offense is just looking terrible. And I think I tweeted it on Sunday when we had like those 3 or 4 possessions in a row where we just looked ridiculous in the fourth quarter. We couldn't do anything. Nobody looked like they wanted to have the ball, even Book. And it just like kind of stalemates. I think that's the bigger thing. It's just when nobody looks like they know what they're doing, we just get to give it to Kevin Durant. Yeah. And that's the craziest part.
I meant to say this at the beginning, but this is a guy, I mean, like, it wouldn't have been crazy if he doesn't get hurt and Kyrie's stuff stays normal, he doesn't get traded, whatever, a lot of ifs, but like, if they had just kept it going how they were, he might have won MVP. You know what I mean? And there's a difference between, like, I think this game, and I will talk about this more because I think we'll continue to see it. No disrespect whatsoever to Book. You know, you will not hear me doubt him or knock him down a peg or whatever. But this game showed there is a massive difference between the 10th best player in the NBA and the 2nd or 3rd best player in the NBA.
Like, yeah, it looked like he wasn't even trying. It was just, he was doing shoot around with, he got blocked by Dennis Smith once, but it just looked like he was getting whatever he wanted. And sometimes Book will have an effortless 30, but 23 points in 23 minutes on and a minutes restriction. And it just looked like he was out there alone. And it just looks different when you finally see somebody do it like that.
Yeah. I mean, 7 feet tall with maybe the best footwork for a perimeter player we've ever seen, or at least one that big. And
he didn't even show that part today. He didn't show the handles, putting the ball on the floor. Like, that part's going to come later probably, but he was kind of just one bounce, two bounce, put the ball up. and we haven't even seen him like really sauce it up yet.
Man, it's going to be fun. Chicago on Friday. I'll probably do a bonus show that day. We'll have Marcus Thompson. I can finally announce it to everybody. Marcus Thompson will be here to close out the week talking what this means for KD. We all know what it means for the Suns. I've been yelling at you about what it means for the Suns for 3 weeks, but now we'll hear from the KD perspective, what his career. Marcus literally wrote the book on Kevin Durant, so that'll be fun. And then Sunday after that game, Dallas, a rematch of the series from last year, as well as KD versus Kyrie. Hopefully everybody's healthy. Brandon and I will go live after that. So that's the schedule. Hit follow or subscribe wherever you're finding us, including YouTube. In the meantime, go make Locked On NBA your second listen. Go make Locked On Sports Today your second listen, actually, because I'll be on that show right after we get off here. Check that out. News around the whole sports world, including this Kevin Durant debut. That'll wrap us up, though, guys. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow.